connecting, being with your experience. Allowing a relaxation of body and mind to support this capacity, a natural capacity to just be aware. If it supports you, beginning with relaxation, consciously allowing the body to relax as much as is possible. As we go in this week of practice, you might find that a place to explore this relaxation is through simply kind of connecting with the areas of the body and noticing if there is tension, opening to that. Oh, there's tension. And seeing what happens as that tension is held with awareness. It might naturally release upon being seen and recognized. Giving it that opportunity. And you can also explore a conscious relaxation of areas that are held in tension, seeing if they can soften and release. And then checking in the core of the body. Maybe the inside of the throat can soften and relax. Maybe the heart can relax. Maybe the stomach and the intestines can relax. And recognizing, aware, while relaxed. while relaxation is happening. Perhaps too, there can be a letting go, a softening of mental tension, ways in which the mind might be pulled into thoughts, worries, or concerns. Maybe for this time, that can be set aside and perhaps the mind can relax. Gil Fronsdal sometimes offers an analogy that might support or move towards the direction of relaxing the mind. As if the brain were a muscle, maybe the brain can relax. Maybe there can be awareness. With this relaxation, recognizing the awareness. Maybe it doesn't have to be a question, but simply an acknowledgement, a recognition, already aware. That awareness, already knowing experience. These processes of body and mind carry on. We don't have to be in charge of them. In fact, we're not in charge of them. Already aware. Experience already known. aware of what is obvious. As we notice the experience, aware of what's happening, we can begin to recognize that what's happening is not random. It's conditioned by experience, things from the past. It's conditioned by what's happening in the present, how we're relating to it right now. It's conditioned by thoughts or ideas about what might happen in the future. Simply aware each moment, moment after moment, seeing the unfolding of our lives, of our humanness, this human experience. Witnessing it, witnessing the experience of body and mind. We may start to recognize that there are distinct but interrelated processes happening. Processes of body, of the sensing quality, the physical experience, touch sensation, smell, sound, sight and taste. Although probably not now so much, the sight and the taste. There's what's happening in our physical realm. And then there's the whole realm of what's going on in our minds. The processes of our system naturally integrate all of these things together so it can obscure that there are different processes going on. They get kind of conflated, mixed up. Obscures the way they condition each other. So perhaps there could be a curiosity while you're noticing experience. What is bodily experience? And what is mental experience? There may be the experience of physical sensation, touch sense, pressure, vibration, heat or coolness, hardness. That experience might have a pleasant or unpleasant quality to it. Slightly different process in the mind that feels the pleasant, unpleasant than the process that senses the heat, the coolness, hardness, the softness. So these are different things. There's the sensation and the quality of that sensation. And there's the pleasantness or unpleasantness of it. There also might be, in relationship to the bodily sensation, and often in relationship to whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, a relationship. We like it or we don't like it. We want to get rid of it. We want to hold on to it. There might be confusion. This is also distinct from the physical experience. The body, one aspect of the experience. The emotional response, another. Might also recognize thoughts about the experience. I hope this keeps going. When will this end? What am I supposed to do about this? Sometimes we can be more attuned to the thought than the emotion. Sometimes the thoughts are louder. We might understand or get a sense of the flavor of an emotion based on what the thoughts are saying. This is not necessarily this exploration or teasing apart of body and mind experience. It's not necessarily something to actively do. It can be at times. We can have a kind of a curiosity, maybe dropping in the question, what part of this experience is body? How is the mind relating to the body? And at times it can just simply be, we notice what's happening, aware, what's obvious. And there's a simple recognition of the distinction. Receiving experience. As we start to recognize these different activities going on, these different processes interweaving in experience, we may also start to notice the ways they affect each other. An experience happens in the body and the mind responds. There's a physical sensation, an unpleasant physical sensation, and the mind responds with aversion. Something happens in the mind. Aversion happens in the mind, and that affects the body. The body tightens. And things in the mind condition other things in the mind. A thought arises, a memory arises, perhaps. And there's an emotional arising connected to that thought. A thought can condition an emotion. That emotion may further condition other thoughts. We see sometimes this conditioned process of experience just tumbling on. Experience arising, conditioning other experience, conditioning a new experience. We see these processes as simply processes unfolding. we begin to understand the processes that lead us towards suffering, and the processes that lead the mind in the direction of ease, peace, release from these habits and patterns of greed, aversion, delusion. And understanding that difference in direction as the mind sees experience, wisdom starts to choose freedom. Wisdom starts to choose ease and peace instead of choosing greed, aversion, and delusion. And yet our engagement is pretty simple. Relaxing. Aware. Of what is happening. Maybe in a very easeful way, recognizing that you're already aware. Awareness happening already. Already knowing, already aware of experience. I'm curious. Curious about this human experience. Like a naturalist. Curious about nature. Our bodies and minds are nature. And have this nature of being conditioned, witnessing this unfolding natural process. the suggestions I offer each morning. I could call them instructions, suggestions for things that you might explore in your practice. And they could also be simply understood or recognized as descriptions of what can be seen. Instructions that point to seeing our experience in ways that we may not have thought of. This distinction between bodily processes and mental processes. It came up yesterday in the questions around it being difficult to see the difference. And it is difficult to see that difference. It's not a natural, in some ways, perhaps not an ordinary way of noticing experience. And some of us, myself included, without hearing the teachings of these different aspects of experience, might never see or tease them apart or understand that it would be valuable to tease them apart, to recognize that there's a difference between the body and the mind, that we can see that difference and see the conditioned nature there. Begin to see that if, for instance, an unpleasant physical sensation arises, the response to that in the mind is a separate process that is conditioned, and there are conditions that can change that relationship. Sometimes Gil Fronsdahl says that the unpleasant quality, perhaps, of a physical sensation, you know, if you cut yourself with a knife or something like that, you know, there will be unpleasant sensation there. But that the aversion to that, the resistance to that, the anger perhaps about that, the self-judgment about having the knife slip and cutting yourself, all of that is optional. And all of that mental reaction is where the suffering happens. It never occurred to me before I met Buddhism that there was any kind of a possibility to shape the conditioning around reactivity in a different way. And the instructions we can think of, the explanations the Buddha offered, the teachings that he offered, they are conditions that enter our mind. The hearing of the possibility of a different relationship to experience is a condition. The hearing that seeing, this was a big one for me, seeing the reactivity, just simply being aware of it, has an effect to begin to decondition that reactivity. So the teachings of the Buddha, hearing them, hearing these teachings, and then if there's a curiosity, and you're all here, you're all exploring this in your lives. So there's been some interest, some curiosity, and engagement with the teachings. It's not just about hearing them. Hearing them can create the conditions for interest to apply them. And it is that applying that makes a difference. It begins to help the mind to sort these threads out, the different threads between what leads us towards suffering and what leads us towards more ease and peace and freedom. So the instructions are conditions that, when heard and responded to, will support moving us in the direction of freedom. So seeing this conditioned nature of experience supports us in a number of ways. We as I mentioned earlier, the mind sees the mindfulness holding experience sees that certain unfolding processes, certain conditions, reactive states of mind, tend to create more and more stress, constriction, suffering, and other processes at work, curiosity, mindfulness, open-heartedness, mindfulness, stability of mind. Care, connection, these qualities in the mind support a movement towards freedom. And we can even feel this right in the moment, a kind of a shift, a little shift in the mind. If you're noticing a reactivity, for instance, if you're noticing a pain in the body and then a reaction in the mind, an aversion, a tightening, a pushing away, there, we can notice the difference between being caught by that and knowing, oh, this is just what's happening. We can feel the difference, feel a kind of a shift towards, oh, it's okay that this is what's happening. We feel the movement towards well-being in the very seeing of it. There have been times, to my surprise, when I'm witnessing something very strong, like anger or self-hatred, and experiencing at the same time a sense of delight of witnessing it. There was one time I was in practicing in Burma with Sayadaw Utejaniya, and I was practicing mostly in my room. And I had a roommate, and she kind of came and went. And she was very respectful. I needed to practice in my room because I was doing lying down meditation, and they didn't let you do lying meditation in the meditation hall. So I did all of my meditation in the room. And my roommate was very respectful. She, you know, did all of her meditation in the hall and usually came in right around meal times and was very respectful of my time, my silent time in the room. But one day I heard the lock in the key in the lock mid-morning, and I was deep in my meditation practice, and the hearing arose. So there was the sound, and there was all of the ideas that arose about what this meant, the image of my roommate at the door going to be coming in and doing things. And there was this huge reactivity, this like upwelling of, no, don't come in the room. And just watching this like tumble on, the mind was very present for this whole thing. It felt like watching dominoes fall, this reactivity unfold. It was just seeing the conditioning, like these ripples of conditioning. The mind was completely present for it. And so even as I watched it just tumble on, that process of, no, don't come in. The mind was like, oh my gosh, wow, this is so cool. Look at how this is happening. And there was some freedom in the mind, even as it was witnessed. So sometimes when we witness, even with very strong mindfulness, when we witness something unfolding, it doesn't mean that that pattern or habit just vanishes. And yet there can be the wisdom that sees it and learns from it. The learning is the key in that observing. The mind was definitely seeing and experiencing how the contraction of mind was part of that reactivity, and understanding that that contraction was not helpful. But the it was like the momentum of the pattern. It's like had its momentum. It's kind of like, you know, the car. The car is going like 100 miles an hour down the freeway. And we put the car into neutral, and it doesn't stop immediately. You know, it's like the momentum of the car keeps going. That's kind of like what this being mindful was. It's like the momentum was so strong, but the mindfulness was there. So it's like the mind went into neutral, but the pattern had its momentum. And the mindfulness just witnessed that momentum, like putting the car into neutral. It will have its momentum, and it will stop at some point, because that's the nature of momentum like that, to stop if it's not continued. If you don't have your foot on the gas pedal, it will stop. If the car is going in neutral, it's not going to continue forever going 100 miles an hour. It will stop. So we witness these processes and learn from them. It takes confidence. It takes trust. It takes courage to watch our processes of body and mind, to see the ways. It's so humbling. It is so humbling to see what goes on in our minds. And so it takes courage to meet that and not, have our usual habits of reactivity around a feeling of I shouldn't be that way, or kind of not wanting to look in those various corners of the mind. But to just have that curiosity and the trust that the curiosity about those patterns has a transformative effect. Leads the mind, allows the cultivation of wisdom, which leads the mind to letting go of those habits and patterns over time. We have such a instant gratification culture. And this is not about instant gratification. And yet we can see in little ways, we can start to see how wisdom works in the mind. We can get flavor, a little taste of that shift from the mind being all wrapped up and caught in something to seeing it. Oh, that's how things are tied up in knots. Sometimes we get to see something let go. Completely. I talked yesterday about seeing a wanting release, feeling like the mind was let go from a vice grip. We see these little moments, these releases that happen. We understand that they happen because we are practicing. We start to understand the value of the practice to move us in the direction of freedom. Move us towards these even moments of release, moments of ease or peace. And maybe it's just a shift from being caught to being aware. or being aware of being caught instead of just being caught. That shift, giving some space and a sense of a little bit of freedom in the mind. We can see these small shifts, and that can help to build our confidence and our trust in the practice. Sometimes these shifts are more, they're broader. You know, it may not be that we're seeing shifts about very specific little things like I've described, you know, seeing the letting go of a wanting and feeling that in a moment. It might be more of a broad sense of being aware over time, there's less reactivity in the mind right now. Right in this moment, there's some sense of okayness. Looking over time, you know, the Dalai Lama speaks about watching the arc of our practice, not moment to moment, but over the course of 5 years. He says, you know, look back 5 years. How were you 5 years ago? If you've been practicing 5 years, if not, you know, look back over the arc of your practice. What has changed? Is there less reactivity? This is wisdom that supports that. So let's take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back at about, we'll come back at 20 before the hour.